This is Authors in Focus.
Hi, I'm James Reed, fantasy author publishing under JMD Reed. My newest fantasy series is going strong. Readers have enjoyed Diamond Stained, and now Oban and Avena return for their fifth and final story. Things have never been more dangerous. They have survived the chaos of Cash, explored the dark mysteries of the Ruby Ruins, protected the Obsidian Mind, and obtained the Emerald Strength. But can they survive the Amethyst Shattering? The entirety of the five-book Secret of the Jewel series is out on Amazon and free in Kindle Unlimited. Today, I'm joined by Ava Ward, the author of the paranormal romance Royal Dragon Shifters of Morocco.
Hi, Ava. How are you doing today?
I'm good, James. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, It's awesome. It's not warm yet. The sun's just kind of creeping up here on the West Coast.
Nice. Yeah, I'm here in the Boulder, Denver area, and it's already hot at 11 a.m. So, gotta love that high desert.
Oh, yeah. I used to live in New Mexico. And
Yeah,
I know what that's like. Anyway, so I always like to start things out with some fun questions. Mm-hmm. So if you could travel anywhere in the world, where would you go?
Oh, man. You know, one of my bucket list places that I've had on my list for a really long time is actually Egypt. I would love to travel and do a lot of the temples on the Upper Nile and see, you know, Temple Karnak, like all that kind of stuff, too. Like, it's been on my mind ever since I was in my teens. Like, my mom used to have this beautiful coffee table book of, like, the Egyptian tombs and, you know, the Tutankhamun's, you know, like, tomb and all that kind of stuff. And I just have been fascinated by it ever since.
Yes, I always do, too. I sometimes watch, like, documentaries and stuff.
Yeah.
Especially, like, how they built the stuff. I was really fascinated by that.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, all of the different theories of, like, what the pyramids are actually for and that kind of stuff. I love it.
Yeah. It is an unusual structure. It doesn't have the normal hieroglyphs inside like you find in every other Egyptian thing.
Every other tomb. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, are you a cat person or a dog person?
Ooh, good question. I'm actually a cat person, although I do love dogs. I grew up on a farm in Oregon, so like we had dogs and all kinds of animals and cats too. But I find over the years, I just, you know, love curling up with a cup of coffee and a kitty on my lap and, you know, writing with my free hand while I'm not petting the cat.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
So the Willamette Valley? Did you grow up in the Willamette Valley?
I did, yeah. Eugene, Oregon, just outside of Eugene.
Okay. Yeah. I've driven through Eugene many times.
Oh, cool.
So I have a family in Northern California, and I live in Washington, so.
Oh, nice. Yes. That I-5 drive. I know it well.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, you're writing Reverse Harem. In case some of our readers don't know about the genre, what's it about and how does it all work?
Yeah, so what I write is reverse harem paranormal fantasy romance. So there's a really strong fantasy element. There's lots of world building that's involved there. But the romance plot is the center of the plot through the nine books of my current series, which is the Royal Dragon Shifters of Morocco. And reverse harem is where you have a central female character. She's usually, you know, kind of a strong woman, very opinionated, can do, you know, kind of badass. And my heroine is also. And she, over the course of the books, gathers a harem of men to her, usually through some kind of supernatural, you know, bonding, magical, you know, sort of situations, which also happens in my books. And so
That's very common in shifter romances, right?
Very common that there's some kind of supernatural link, you know, that can't be undone or it gets stronger throughout the books. And that happens here too, where she's actually binding to a lot of dragon shifter men. And she also finds out that she is a strong dragon shifter female that she never knew because she was raised in the human world. So
she's romantically involved in all of them, or are they just friends, or how does that work?
Eventually she becomes romantically involved with all her different lovers over the course of these books. And she's got five men over the course of 9 books. But okay. each guy kind of gets their own book where, you know, she's helping them out with certain circumstances in their lives. And it really deepens the romantic relationships between the two of them. So she gets time with each of her lovers. It's not like all of these people are in one book, which is actually happens in a lot of reverse harem stories. Mine's more of what's called a slow burn reverse harem. So the relationships build gradually over the course of the whole series.
It probably helps to have a bit more natural flow to it, right?
Yes, definitely. And, you know, they get into all kinds of shenanigans of jealousy and, you know, magical interactions between the guys. And it gets kind of fun that way. But it's more about deepening the relationships one-on-one and also the relationships between the men, like, you know, how they interact as friends or as rivals and that kind of stuff too.
Okay. So let's talk about your heroine of the story. Who is she?
So her name is Layla Price, and she was raised in the human world, but she is actually a dragon shifter. And she finds that out over the course of the first book, and that she was basically taken out of the Fey realm, which in my books, there's like a near realm to the human world called the Twilight Realm, which is where all the Fey and the shifters and dragon shifters and stuff live.
Okay.
And they can access the human world through portals. So like fairy rings and, you know, different areas where the weave between worlds is thin, essentially. Once you have magic, you can do that. Yeah. But she doesn't have her magic open yet at the beginning of the books. But she is being hunted by this sort of ancient enemy creature that becomes their enemy for the full 9 books. And he's been hunting her since she was a baby. So she had to be, you know, whisked out of the fairy realm and hidden in the human world. And then she gets found by some of her protectors who protected her as a baby. And they come looking for her because the evil creature is starting to become active again and really, you know, put the hunt on again to try and find her.
Okay.
How the story starts.
All right. That's pretty neat. So, I know romance readers love to have their book boyfriends, so why don't you tell us a bit about some of them, some of the guys.
Yeah. So the first book boyfriend that Layla meets and matches up with in the first book is, his name is Adrian Rockbeer, and he's a desert dragon shifter out of Morocco, but his mother was from France, so he's sort of Parisian Moroccan.
Okay.
And he is a billionaire, so there's lots of fun, you know, billionaire stuff, flying on private jets and, you know, riding in all the most exclusive automobiles and stuff with his character. But he's also, you know, kind of aloof and, you know, used to getting what he wants. So obviously he clashes a lot with the main female character. And they have this kind of, you know, love-hate intensity relationship going on for the first couple books until they really start to get to understand each other. But he remains her primary love interest throughout the course of the series. And then one of her other major boyfriends is a crystal dragon named Dusk, and he is her boss at the place she ends up working in the first 2 books, but then he becomes the lover later on in the series. And he's just super supportive, really friendly. Actually, a lot of my readers are sort of much more in love with Dusk than they are the primary male character, which has become fun to write.
Yeah, it's not the case. It's always like your secondary characters that can... I don't know, that readers can often fall in love with over your main ones.
Yes, he just totally steals the scene, you know, whenever I'm writing him on the page, and that's fun.
So what about the other ones?
So the third lover that she becomes acquainted with in the third book is a siren, actually. He's from the North Sea, and he's incredibly powerful, and he is one of the higher-ups at the place she ends up working, which is called the Red Letter Hotel. And she actually has to go help him settle out a bunch of stuff with his clan. Like, he's sort of expected to become their next king, but that's not the life path that he wants for himself.
Okay.
So that's a fun one. And then she's got a storm dragon shifter who is located in France. And again, a very powerful ally for the group and very compassionate. And then the last person in the group is also a siren, and he's a different kind of siren from the North Sea sirens, and she actually helps that guy tame his magic, because he has this really crazy, wild, powerful magic that has not been tameable for him his entire life, basically. And so in each relationship that she builds, she helps her men out with situations that they're facing in their own lives, and it helps bring the group closer together, as well as them helping her, you know, figure out the situation with the shadowy dragon that is hunting her and has been since she was born.
Okay, okay. So you mentioned this Red Letter Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So is that like sort of your story hub for everything?
Yeah, so the very first book, she kind of gets this offer from the desert dragon guy, Adrian, to come work for him at his hotel, because he's actually trying to protect her, but the only way they can do that is to get her into the fairy realm somehow, but it has to be through a legitimate avenue.
Okay.
So she comes to work for the hotel, which is able to, like, give her magical protection and help open her magic up safely. And then she is working there as a concierge. And the hotel is basically like a place where, you know, the wildest experiences can come true. So it's a place where human royalty can come through, or human billionaires can come through and experience everything the magical realm has to offer. And it's also a place where people of magical lineages who already live in the Fey realm can actually come and have experiences that they would never otherwise get in their own life, and do so in a peaceful environment. So it's kind of like amnesty grounds. Like, no one's able to fight on the hotel grounds. The clans that are rivals or, you know, enemies are not able to, like, attack each other in the halls. So it's this place where everyone can come and just kind of be themselves and get wild experiences.
So, all right. So it's kind of like, it's kind of like Casablanca.
Yeah. Kind of
like
that.
Which is in Morocco, isn't it?
Yeah, Morocco. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right. That's pretty cool.
It's fun. The main hotel that they work out of is near Paris. I actually set it at the Palace of Versailles.
Okay.
But in the Fey realm. And then there are other locations all around the world, some of which are in Morocco.
All right. So you mentioned there's different types of dragons. So they have, what sort of different powers do they have?
So they basically follow the five elements. Kind of from Chinese medicine.
Yeah.
You've got like fire, which would be your desert dragons. You've got water, which are your sirens. You've got sort of like etheric and air power, which is all of the storm dragons. And then there's sort of a unique branch called ice dragons, which are kind of a combination of desert dragon power and siren power. And then there are also phoenix in my books, which are... They're like bird dragons. So if you could sort of imagine the flying dinosaurs, except make them more dragon-like than dinosaur-like, that's how they actually are in my books.
Nice.
And sirens are dragons too. They're like a water leviathan type dragon. So I kind of based all of their powers off of those elements. The only ones that can manifest fire are the desert dragons. The only ones that can wield lightning are the storm dragons. Sirens have, you know, obviously like mental powers, like siren mesmeric abilities, but they have all the powers over the ocean and water and that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
So are there any challenges in writing a reverse harem romance over, say, other types of romance?
Yeah, there are. Balancing the amount of time that the heroine gets with each romantic interest obviously is a big challenge, because when you have so many people to work with in a book, you know, they kind of each need their alone time with the heroine to deepen those relationships. But there's also a lot of conflict and rivalry and stuff that happens between people. So you have to solve those issues as well as the books go on. I'd say that's tricky. Like, if you're just working with one romantic interest, you get to kind of explore that relationship in its entirety with all of its ups and downs. Whereas, you know, here it's sort of, I have to focus maybe with one book on a specific relationship more than the others. And then other books are more about like battling the big bad evil, obviously, towards the end.
Okay. So is this a happily for now or happily ever after romance?
So each book ends with a happily for now.
Okay.
And then the end of the series will actually end with a happily ever after. And then I have a couple standalones that I'm sort of planning after the series is over.
Nice. So let's see. What are your influences for where you draw your, like, inspiration?
So I love both epic fantasy and fantasy romance and paranormal romance. So like when I was a little kid, I started reading Tolkien and all that kind of stuff. And then as I got into my teens, I started reading all the fantasy romance authors and just have loved that overlap. So I really enjoy authors who have a much more like detailed world that's very visceral. Like you can, it kind of leaps off the page at you. So like Anne Rice is one of those that I've always loved just because she has these really beautiful descriptions and you can like smell her world and, you know, like taste it. I love that.
So, yeah.
I like working with that.
I've read a...
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry. I was about to comment. You know, I've read her Mayfair Witches books.
Yes.
Back in the day.
Intense. Very intense. But yeah, the way she describes, you know, flowers and buildings and the heat of the day, you know, the mugginess of the deep south and stuff, like I just love all of that. And so I try to balance that for a faster paced romance novel so it doesn't drag. Like a lot of epic fantasy and stuff and older romance has that slower story unfolding. But I try to, you know, move it along a little faster for these books, even though they are like a slow burn reverse harem.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, oh boy, I've lost my train of thought. So, do you have anything else in the works besides your Shifter Dragons? Do you have any other venturing into any other aspects of a PNR or fantasy romance?
Yeah, actually, funny that you ask about that because I just had like my husband and I go on these really long walks where we like talk about plot lines and books and new stories and stuff, and we just had some great ideas the other day for a few books that I've put on the shelf and never published. They're things I wrote back in 2015, 2016 that I wasn't quite sure like what audience they were for, but now they've been completely reimagined into new series and I'm going to end up rewriting them and redoing them. And one of them is I'm really excited about, which is a romance between a summer fae living in Italy and the master vampire that controls like that area of Florence, and like him using her for his political aims and, you know, her using him for her goals of like bringing her society into the modern world.
Okay.
Yeah, which involves a character.
Sounds really fascinating, yeah.
Yeah, it involves a character for my current series, which will be really fun.
So do you often do brainstorming sessions with your husband?
Yeah, a lot, actually. Ever since I first started writing, you know, he's kind of been a sounding board to, like, if I get stuck in an area with some plot lines or if I'm just kind of, you know, if I've written, you know, maybe 50 pages on something, on an idea, and I don't know where it's going, you know, we'll kind of hash it out and just see what happens.
Nice. Yeah. That's great that he's supportive.
Yeah, definitely.
So is all of your Royal Dragon Shifters out, or is there any more of the series to be published?
So 7 books are out already, and I have a box set also for books 1 through 3, so people can get into the series a little quicker and easier. That's available on Amazon for 99¢ right now.
Yeah, and we'll have a link for that on the description of the podcast show.
Awesome. The other 2 books, books 8 and 9, are coming out by the end of this summer. So I hope to get them all finished and wrapped up by like October 1st.
Okay.
End of September.
Nice. Sounds like it's the perfect time to sink into your books and, you know, get through them. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a summer of writing, which is good.
Awesome. That's what I'm trying to do. I got this 5-book series. I'm trying to write the last novel of, so I can start editing them.
Yes.
This way, if I have them all written, then I can fix the first book with ideas I had in the last book. Yeah.
Yeah, I do that too. I'll write through for like quite a while before I go back and start working on the first book and really like firming it up. Because I find, like, I don't know if you find this is true for you, but like for me, it's a matter of seeing like where is this story going overall, and like what are those major themes that need to be firmed up for the whole series.
I have trouble seeing past like certain major plot points. Mm-hmm. I need to like write myself to them and really see how my character, because when I do my plots, they're very much devoid of the character's emotions and what they're thinking. So I have to write that. So sometimes I have to write through some stuff to figure out exactly how they're going to react. Like, my current series, I had, like, three different characters, like, my heroine could have ended up with. And some of those characters could have also turned into villains. I mean, some of them turned into villains, you know. So it's like, I really need to ride my way through this story. But, you know, because I wasn't quite sure. Up until about midway through book four, I finally had to commit to certain paths. And
Totally. I did that with this series too. I was already writing book three before I went back and finished editing book one and published that one. Cause I was just like, I need to see like where all of these relationships are going.
Yeah.
Totally.
All right. So, what advice can you offer for new writers or aspiring writers?
You know, I think two things. One is to just keep writing, like just don't give up. Like even if you're getting a lot of flack from people or, you know, kickback from publishers or whatever, just keep going. Like I have a whole series that is a million words total that I wrote at the beginning of my writing career, and it will never be published because it's just a completely different writing style than what I do today. But through putting in that much time and effort and writing that many words, I learned what my writing style actually is and how to create good content that people enjoy and that follows, you know, tropes that are familiar, but also has those twists and turns that make a new book interesting. So I'd say that's the first major thing. And the second major thing is that there really is a market out there for everything. Especially in the indie world, it's just a matter of finding it and connecting to the people who want to read what you're writing. And yeah, there are some, you know, areas of authoring that are really, really, really lucrative and other ones that aren't. But still, like, there is an audience out there for everything. So I think that's the other piece of advice I would give is, you know, pay attention to what sort of stuff you love. And read the authors that you love just over and over and over again to figure out what they're doing if you want to write in that genre, and then just go for it and give it a try.
Yeah, that's really great advice. I would, yeah, I agree with all of that. Yeah.
Hey.
I know I wrote my first fantasy novel. I wrote it like 5 years before I published the series. Yeah. But when I back on edits and stuff, I had to really change a lot because I had developed so much in that corresponding 5 years.
Yeah.
But it was really cutting a lot of stuff out. I found myself really like paring down some of those. Like that fifth novel was like I pared out like 30,000-40,000 words out of it, and it still was 275,000 words.
Wow, that's truly epic. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I found that like cutting out a lot of those scenes and stuff or ideas or characters, sometimes I'll save them and use them for a future series or a future book and just like spin off that idea. Cause it's like maybe it didn't belong in an earlier series or maybe it was just not the right idea at the time. But then it like really fits for something else that's fun to like move on later. So like I generally keep all of my discarded sections like that and just see if this useful later or maybe it's not, you know, sometimes it's not.
Yes, I do. I do have all the versions of something I've written from my novels. Like I could go and dig through my archives. So I want to find like a version of it from like 2 years ago.
Yeah. Nice. All right.
So it was really great talking with you, Ava.
Yeah. Sorry. Likewise, James. Yeah. It was good to chat today.
Yep. You have a good one.
Awesome. You too.
This has been Authors in Focus. You can find my fantasy novels on Amazon. Follow news of my writing at my blog, jmd-read.com, and follow me on Twitter at jmdread. You can also join my reader group on Facebook, Fantastical Worlds of the Imagination. You can find more episodes of the podcast at fantasy-focus.com and wherever your favorite podcast is hosted.